Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We are in our concluding segment of a very special interview with Mark Helprin, the author of the forthcoming book, Paris in the Present Tense, and numerous best-selling books in various languages, paperback, hardback, you name it. A couple of them in movies or to be made into movies, Winter's Tale and A Soldier of the Great War being two of my favorites. Mark Helprin, you have given us a lot to chew on. The president-elect, were he exposed to all of this, and I trust he will be, would doubtless be chastened and anxious about what can, in fact, be done. You've given, along the course of your rendering of the threat, a couple of ideas. Let's pull them together here, perhaps starting with the idea of doing something Donald Trump has actually said he intends to do, which is kind of revert to a Reagan-esque program of peace through strength, rooted in a return to military power and the buildup that would be required. Explain that in a little bit more detail, if you would.
That's the number one important thing, because that gives you a versatile toolbox, and it can be used where necessary. And by the way, I must stress that it has to be used intelligently. I was a critic of the George W. Bush administration's execution of the war in Iraq and even in Afghanistan and the strategy following it. Even though I was in favor of the use of military force to accomplish objectives, I thought that they were ill-defined. But without dwelling on that, the point is, if you use force intelligently, you as it should be, and never promiscuously, then you have to have a surplus of resources, because in war, the business model of just-in-time inventory or doing things in a way that makes the most profit, meaning doing them most economically, doesn't work. You have to have tremendous reserves and backup, and what is referred to, unfortunately, by the in a pejorative way by the left as overkill. Overkill is insurance. And it's absolutely necessary. So I would say that the first thing we have to attend to is our nuclear deterrent, because for those who are concerned about nuclear war, the fastest way to get into a nuclear war is to have an imbalance of nuclear forces that makes an enemy take advantage of your weakness. So we have to attend to that. We have to modernize it. We have to make sure that the whatever treaties we're involved in are being observed. Russia is not at this time. I've said this on many occasions. For some reason, we act as if China is not a treaty eligible partner. China has a very large nuclear capacity. It's building it up what extent we don't even know, because it hides it in tunnels, etc. And we only have nuclear agreements with Russia, as if China didn't exist. That's very important. We have to bring them into a nuclear arms control regime. If we don't, we're really playing with fire. So there's the nuclear element. Then there's the conventional element, because you want to have a flexible response. Obviously, you don't want to go to nuclear war at any challenge or any kind of brinkmanship. You want to have an enormous conventional power so that you can avoid backing into nuclear weapons. And that's the problem with the Soviet Union. It's building its conventional power, but its nuclear power so far overshadows it that it's very, very dangerous. We need more conventional power in Europe. We need more conventional naval and air power in Asia. I never would recommend a land war in Asia, but our métier is the air and the sea, and that's what is key in Asia. So we have to build up particularly the Navy, the Air Force, and the Army in Europe. We have to build up our defense industrial base, which we have destroyed by mergers and by starving it. For instance, the F-22, we wanted to build 750. That was the Air Force's requirement. We ended up with 183, and we've mothballed all the tools, and all the people who know how to do it have dispersed and gone into other industries. It's a crime. So Yeah, so that's the number one thing, is to give ourselves the reserve, the strategic depth, if you will, in a symbolic sense, of having a very, very strong military.
Let me give you a couple of examples of places where I think we're witnessing major new capabilities being brought to bear against us, and just ask you, if you would, to comment quickly, or at least to give a sense of priorities that a new president should apply to addressing them. We've talked a little bit about space as a theater of military operations against us, hypersonic weapons that are being introduced into the Russian and Chinese arsenals and in due course into others, cyber warfare as a threat, this danger of attacks on our electric grid through electromagnetic pulse or other means. The industrial base you've touched on, I couldn't agree with you more that that's got to be addressed, particularly in the nuclear enterprise. But also this social engineering of the military. Mark, just very quickly, of those, are there some more urgently in need of attention than others, or all of them?
Well, it's across the board. And for instance, I just read an article in the Naval Institute Proceedings by a woman protesting the fact that the Pentagon has now, the Navy has now, Ray Mabus has now outlawed the women's hats called the buckets, which are different from the men's naval hats. So now the women will be wearing men's hats as well as men wearing men's hats. And this is the kind of junk that the armed forces have been obsessed with for years now, since Dakowitz. And if people don't know what Dakowitz is, they should look it up.
Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Armed Forces, I think.
Right. Even since Clinton, when they were talking about sending Green Berets to save endangered animals in Africa, the military is for defense. There may be ancillary benefits, such as, for instance, integration during the Second World War and then with Truman's orders, which are fine and good. And it's a great way to assimilate people. But
as long as it contributes to readiness, right?
Yeah, as long as it doesn't degrade readiness or efficiency. But the left doesn't like it, and to the extent that it accepts it, it sees it as, well, let's use it as a laboratory for social experimentation. And actually, Susan,
or a battering ram on the society, for that matter, for that whole agenda. The transgender thing comes to mind.
Susan Rice actually said that having transgender troops is an important. Is important for national security. This is insane. This insanity has got to stop.
I think it will. I'm hoping so. But let me ask you in closing, Mark, we've only got 2 minutes. Would you address yourself to the picks that President-elect Trump has made so far, particularly three prominent American generals, John Kelly as the Secretary of Homeland Security?
First of all, I'm not so happy about the fact that that he's bringing in all these generals, because there is a question of, I'm not afraid of a coup or anything, but and they're all capable people, as far as I know, particularly Mattis, who really doesn't deserve the nickname Mad Dog. He's very smart and very kind and also stable, et cetera, et cetera. But I am somewhat troubled by the fact that Trump is bringing in lots of generals, simply because of the constitutional idea and principle that there should be civilian control of the military. And these guys are pretty close to the military. They think in a military sense. But I'm not that much disturbed, as long as they're capable.
Especially capable of understanding the sorts of threats you've talked about and understanding the kinds of really serious remedial action that is going to be required. Mark, we are hard out of time. I can't believe how fast it has passed. It is always incredibly illuminating, and I hope you will do so again in the very near future. In the meantime, good luck with the forthcoming book, Paris in the Present Tense, and with your many contributions to the national public policy debate. Thank you, Mark. God bless you. We'll talk with you soon. We'll talk with the rest of you again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.